Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. Everybody, this is episode 290 of the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell yeah.
Logical sense, this is your boy Buzzby.
And over here is your boy JC. No, honey.
How you doing, boy?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Cool. How's your Valentine's? What'd you end up doing?
Couple shit inside. It was nice.
That's cool.
The whole week leading up to it, Britt was like, I was like, You sure you want to go out? You sure you don't want to stay inside? No, I want to go out. Sure you want to go out? We could just do something nice inside. The day of, I think I want to stay inside. I know you do. I anticipated us staying inside, and we had a nice Valentine's Day inside.
As you should, yeah. It's all energy.
Yeah, we had a nice. Just anticipate. You know, what can you do? Just a lot of organs are doing a lot of things when you're pregnant. What can you do? But we had a good time.
That's good. What did I do? I worked and came home and just watched that. Couple show. It was a couple shows. There's one dating show on Netflix called The Perfect Match, made by the same people who did Love is Blind and Ultimatum and all that. It's just pure, just raw fuckery.
Okay.
And I don't know why I like these shows, but Netflix managed to make a whole reality, a whole MCU of their dating verse. And I love it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how I find it. I was like, man, this is stupid. And then 3 episodes in, I'm like, okay, I'm invested.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
And I also started re-binging. Like, I started like years ago, but now I'm back on it. I am binging The Sopranos now.
Good for you.
Morning, got myself a gun.
About damn time.
I don't know, it's one of the holy grails on HBO, and I have to just watch it, and I'm almost done with season 2. And yeah, Tony Soprano. I like him and I hate him. I love him and hate him at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, I love him because I see that he cares about like his people and his family. But I hate him because he's stubborn and he always just like does shit to make shit worse. And I'm just like, bro, what are you doing? But yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Season two, I think, is the best season of The Sopranos, but it's far from my favorite season.
What's your favorite season?
I think season 4 is my favorite season.
Okay.
Season 4 is that shit.
I see it building towards something. That's what I've noticed when I'm watching the show. I see it building, and it's just like, because I know how it ends. I know exactly how it ends. I just want to know how we get to that specific moment.
It's amazing. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Yep.
But anyway, last weekend, as y'all hearing this, it was the Super Bowl. Let's see.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
What Super Bowl was this? Super Bowl
57.
Mm-hmm. And we have ourselves new champions. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I keep telling you, JC, I told you, I never, ever bet against Patrick Mahomes. Ever.
That's fine. I don't know what to tell you. Like, okay.
I know. Okay. Oh yeah.
I had the right score. I don't know. Water's wet.
You were off by like 2 points, I think.
No, I had the right score for the. I had the right score for the winner. So like,
oh yeah.
I know it don't mean nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. High scoring game. Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes put on an MVP performance on both ends, but they could only be one. Jalen Hurts was balling, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's again, that's why I picked the Eagles. Like, it could have gone either way. I mean, I'm not going to take away from Patrick Mahomes and his greatness, especially coming off what he did with the ankle injury, because that was greatness personified right there. Mm-hmm. The Eagles were legitimately a defensive touchdown away from taking that game, which is why I picked them. But hats off to Andy Reid for coming in with a great game plan to counteract the reason why I picked the Eagles, which was having that defense and having four players with 10 plus sacks. I don't think anybody had a sack. I don't think any Nobody Eagle had a sack.
Either side didn't have a sack. But I don't think Jalen Hurts didn't get sacked and Patrick Mahomes didn't get sacked. So kudos to both linemen.
Right.
Both sides.
Right. What was it?
Yeah.
The Chiefs defense did show up, even though, again, Jalen Hurts played as great of a game as you could play despite his turnover. Mm-hmm. He threw a beautiful dime to A.J. Brown, threw a beautiful dime to Devontae Smith. He kept finding Dallas Goedert all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was all said and done, Chiefs were able to find the gaps to minimize the wounds and stop the bleeding. And it was just enough to get Patrick Mahomes in position. Mm-hmm. And special teams was where it mattered most. And that return by, I forget homeboy. They just traded for him from the Giants.
I know what you're talking about.
I think it's Kadarius Toney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to jack up his name, but I think you're right. When he had that return,
mm-hmm.
that one hurt to watch for a personal level, because to my homeboy Mike Clay, that's the Eagles special teams coordinator.
So
that one hurt on a personal level to see. But they took advantage of that, and then it just seemed that the Chiefs, both back-to-back touchdowns that they had down on the in the red zone, it was the same mm-hmm. damn play when they threw it to homeboy they just got from the Giants, and then they threw it to Pacheco, or mm-hmm. Not Pacheco, Sky Moore. He was just on the other side when they did that damn touchdown.
If I'm not mistaken,
they in the second half the Chiefs scored on every single possession they had. I knew it was going to be one of them damn games. I knew it was going to be one of them games when the Eagles went down, scored. And then the Chiefs immediately came down, and then Pat Mahomes went and threw it to Kelsey, and they scored too. I was like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. I knew it was really about to be one of those ones when the Chiefs kicker put the ball up, and then the kick went and hit the goalpost, and that shit sounded like a bomb in Baghdad.
Yeah, we heard that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be them ones when they literally went back-to-back. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those games. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally, as I predicted. And the Eagles had a game plan. Keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. That was their mm-hmm. game plan. Every time they had a possession, in the first half, they kept him off the field. And they tried to do quick in and outs, quick three and outs, and kept him off the field just to eat up clock and score. Take up more time and score by any means necessary. So – now, what's your opinion on that last play? Like the controversial flag, quote unquote.
It's not controversial. He held him. I mean, you don't want to see the play called. You don't want to see the game called on a flag, but there's no controversy. I mean, he yelled him. He yelled him twice, actually.
You literally saw it in slow motion. And then what even makes it worse, I was watching Inside the NFL. They had another angle of it in super, because you know how they have that shit in super slow motion with NFL films.
Right.
They stopped it, and you literally see old boy just tugging his jersey. And I'm like, that's a hole, baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what makes it controversial is the fact that Mahomes, the throw went out of the end zone, so there was no way that Juju was going to go get it. I guess that's the controversial part of the play, but I've seen in person Derek Carr make that throw plenty of times to get the penalty. That's mm-hmm. the whole point of getting it. It's not the point to get your receiver to get the ball. It's just to get it up there so that way the ref can see that the player can't get it because he's being held. That's the whole point of it. And there was no question about it. Bradbury held him. You don't want to see that, but as a whole, I don't have an issue with them calling that.
And seeing all the motherfuckers bitch and moan on ESPN and FS1 and all this other shit. And I was just like, Jalen Hurts deserved to be out. We need to see Jalen Hurts go out there for one last drive. And I was like, nigga, wait. Fuck. I was like, game's a game.
Well, yeah, we did deserve to see Jalen Hurts go out there. If only their defense would have stopped Patrick Mahomes from limping that damn 30-yard first down. that's when we could have seen him go out there. It was third and eight or third and ten. That's when you could have stopped him and we could have seen him then.
Yeah.
That's when you do it, but don't blame the refs for that. The defense didn't show up. Hold them responsible for that.
That Eagles defense got exposed, just like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo said. They said Eagle fans were always getting pissed at Deebo and Brandon Ayuk for doing them interviews and saying that the fucking Eagles off defense is like, there's a weakness in their defense and how some of them are trash and shit. Like, oh, they're just sore losers. And Brandon Ayuk said flat out, yo, if we are seeing this in their defense, I am pretty sure Kansas City's seeing this. And Kansas City saw it. It was always right in the middle. That's exactly where it was at. It was Patrick Mahomes always kept throwing right in the middle, open first down or touchdown.
Don't do that.
What?
Don't do that.
I'm doing it.
Don't do that. What you're indirectly doing is you're putting Brock Purdy on the same level of Patrick fucking Mahomes. Don't do that.
Dude, on that first play, before he got injured, before he got hit, Brandon Ayuk was wide the fuck open. Right.
That's Brandon Ayuk. That's Brandon Ayuk. Is Brock Purdy the same as Patrick Mahomes? No.
Well, we don't know.
Listen to me. It's not a we don't know. Brock Purdy had a great, six, seven games to start to his career. Patrick Mahomes has had 5 years. That's not the same.
I'm not comparing both of them. I'm just saying what they said was the weakness.
That's what I'm saying. That it could be the same weakness. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that Brock Purdy would have executed the same way that Patrick Mahomes would have executed. That's what I'm saying. You could have the same weakness, but it doesn't mean you're going to execute it and exploit it the same way that a veteran quarterback is going to exploit it. Patrick Mahomes is now we're catapulting him and expecting to see him in the same way, the trajectory as Tom Brady. We ain't talking about Brock Purdy in the same way as no Tom Brady.
I'm not comparing both of them. All I was talking about was just how they saw weakness and the Niners were just confident that they were going to exploit it, but they didn't get a chance to because we didn't have a damn capable quarterback.
But you know why you didn't have a capable quarterback though. Your line didn't protect them from a capable defense.
Actually, it was a tight end. It wasn't in Kittle, but I know what you mean. But that defense.
It's not like Brock Purdy just slipped and he got hurt. The defense. You're pointing out a weakness, but the strength of the Eagles' defense was exploited your guys' weakness and took it out.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the game's a game. At the end of the day, everybody was right. Deebo was right. Ayuk was right. I was right. They were right. Everybody was right. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, we have a champion. It's Patrick Mahomes. In his first 5 seasons in the NFL, this motherfucker got 2 fucking Super Bowl rings. And he is the first black quarterback to win multiple Super Bowl championships and be Super Bowl MVP and league MVP at the same damn time.
I'm blacker black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Nigga, he overcame all the curses. He overcame the MVP, the league MVP curse, the Drake curse, the Denver curse. He overcame all that shit.
Yeah.
Funny thing about that is when Denver posted, because if y'all don't know, Denver has a curse on our Facebook group. 2 hours into the game, he posted a Facebook post saying, guaranteed alert, the Chiefs will beat the Eagles. 2 hours later, Patrick Mahomes got injured in the first half. Well, he didn't get injured. He got hurt.
Yeah. But, I don't want to say he got injured. He just went out, got a stinger.
He
got some horse tranquilizers afterwards.
I think I sipped something. He said that MJ super juice or something.
I wasn't MJ super. No, that wasn't no MJ super juice. Those are some horse tranquilizers.
It had to be. Yeah, but that's nuts. Now he's the final boss. Good luck, Jason. Good luck, your Raiders. You're ready to see him twice a year and maybe three times a year if y'all make
the You're playoffs. Just now saying that?
Well, now it's just like, God damn.
No, now? Just, what are you talking about now? What are you talking about now?
I just like saying it.
You're talking about now. You guys lost to him in the Super Bowl.
I know. And y'all lost to him twice a year.
Hey.
Whatever. It's just, you know, it's just wild to me how now, when you watch the media, how they kind of they want to praise Patrick Mahomes, but they kind of don't because their story was to Jalen Hurts and it just didn't happen. So it's just like, it's one big old I guess. That's how they're looking at it. They're saying, like, I guess he won. Kind of the same way when the Warriors win. They're kind of looking like, yeah, they won, but it's like, I guess. That's how they're looking at it.
I just find it funny that they didn't spend enough time praising both quarterbacks the same way they would have praised both of them if both their fathers were crackheads.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Patrick Mahomes Sr. is a retired Major League Baseball veteran. And a lot of people found out this week, really under the radar, that Jalen Hurts, his father was his high school football coach. And he's very active and predominant in his life.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. A lot of people, and a lot of people listening to this podcast still didn't know that until I said that. Because, you know, they really, a lot of media doesn't like really relaying the story of the positive black father. They only like the story of, yeah, so this guy ran a 4.340 and he really had to get there because his father was dealing drugs and his mom got hit by a car. And now we take it here to Lisa Salters, and she tells an amazing story of how he beat the odds.
So the whole draft story. I'm right here with so-and-so, and his mom. How does it feel when your mom was a crackhead and got hit by a car? How does it make you feel? How right. does that motivate you?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then they saw Patrick Mahomes Sr., and back-to-back, two out of the last 3 weeks, he was smoking on that Joe Burrow pack, and then it went to Philly Blunts. Philly Blunts.
I'm on that Philly Blunt. His dad is black as hell, man.
Mm-hmm. And you notice how the narrative changed. The narrative changed real quick to Patrick Mahomes ain't black to oh. Yeah, no, I mean the narrative for the legacy of Patrick Mahomes has definitely gone to his ceiling is the sky's the limit for him. He is only 27 years old, and at this rate, he probably got a good 10 years before he even has to think about slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is that once upon a time, Jalen Hurts was just viewed as a presence that was in the locker room until the Eagles could figure out what their next quarterback situation is. And then Jalen Hurts puts on a performance where he throws for over 300 yards, one touchdown, and then rushes for another three, has full command of the locker room, and it's very visible that he deserves every single penny, and he is very well going to be that franchise's quarterback for a long period of time. And it just goes to show that the whole stigma of the black quarterback, and it's only the black quarterback can only be a running quarterback. It can only be a moving quarterback. It's no longer the case. That stigma is done. It's over.
Very much done. Like, obviously, it would have been very nice if Jalen Hurts would have won that. It would have been nice because there would have been no, like, controversy or nothing. It would have been like, yeah, you could have a mobile quarterback and you can still score touchdowns and win a Super Bowl. That's for Michael Vick. That's for fucking who else? Well, Donovan McNabb. That's for all the black quarterbacks they said that couldn't do it. Cam Newton, all of them. And also for Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, man, because Patrick Mahomes, man, that dude is just, he's on that other tier. You know how I respect certain players from like LeBron's and Kobe's and Steph Curry's and shit like that and the Tom Brady. He's up there. Like, he's that quarterback I just give my undisputed respect for. Like, yeah. That's him. Like, yeah, I'm never going to bet against him. If you're going against him, like, if my Niners go against him, like, I want to go against him because I want to knock him out. Like, fuck it. You want to go out. You want to take out the best. But don't be surprised if the best beat you. So, the game's the game, man.
Yeah. No, he has definitely proven since he took the L against the Bucks. He had a nice bounce back. He is now the bar, so it's definitely safe to say you can bet against him.
He's the new final boss. Now that Brady's gone, he's the new final boss.
Yeah. And salute to Andy Reid. Andy Reid has, in my eyes, Andy Reid has solidified himself as, if not top five, a solidified top 10 head coach in NFL history.
Good for him.
No quarrel. No quarrel there. What a man, hell of a run for him. I saw a lot of stuff about who was it? Who was the one that interviewed them in the post game? I forgot.
I don't know. I didn't watch the post game.
Terry Bradshaw. I saw a lot of backlash about Terry Bradshaw. They were saying he was fat phobic against Andy Reid, because he kept saying, "Oh, you go get a cheeseburger now." And I'm like, "Y'all really don't be watching football, huh?" Because Andy Reid always be bringing up cheeseburgers in the locker room.
That motherfucker. I got my cheeseburger.
Like, they kept saying Terry Bradshaw was fat phobic, and I was, because he kept bringing up the cheeseburgers, and I'm like, I was like, the team just gave him a cheeseburger when they won the AFC title.
Happy as hell about it too.
Yeah. That was they gifted him a big ass box, and you know, it's like, yeah, cheeseburger.
That dude said the morning after the Super Bowl, he got up and went to a diner and ordered himself a cheese. No, he said a cheeseburger or pancakes. He got something. Got myself a cheeseburger, and I got myself a salad to make myself feel chubby. I'm like, I can't hate Andy Reid.
Hell no. Nah. Andy Reid is not. Nah, nah. You can't hate Andy Reid, bro.
Nah, man. After everything he went through in Philly with Donovan McNabb and always getting to the promised land and then just fucking up on clock management and shit, on this Super Bowl, he made sure clock management was like, especially the final seconds, he was like, "Oh, no. I'm going to fucking milk this for every fucking second."
I'm going to tell you right now. That's the second one.
That was the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Jerick McKinnon, he's better than me.
Oh, you would have went for the touchdown?
Hell yeah. I'm not telling my grandkids I slid when I had an opportunity on the so I slid on the 1 yard line for the team. Fuck that. I went and scored a touchdown and I got my incentive.
Shout out to Derek. I'm supposed to, man.
Nah. This remember the Titans. I'm supposed to slide for the team? What
team? I mean, Patrick Mahomes. I said, what team?
Exactly.
Nigga.
Patrick Mahomes, a half billionaire. I ain't no half billionaire.
Nigga, I got bills, nigga.
Exactly. I'm the Latrell Sprewell, nigga. I got kids to feed.
Nah, but seriously, shout out to Derek McKinley, man. He's a former Niner. Never got a chance to fucking ball out because he was injury prone. And I was always pulling for him. So now he went to the Chiefs, and he had a great season with them and got himself a ring, man. So I'm happy.
Yeah. Salute to the real MVP, Mama Kelsey. That's major. Two sons in the Super Bowl. She now officially has produced three Super Bowl rings, because remember, even though the Eagles lost, Jason Kelsey still has his Super Bowl ring with the 2017 Eagles. And then, of course, Travis Kelsey now won his second. That is bragging rights on top of bragging rights.
Jason Kelsey's been playing for the Eagles that long?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 10 or 12 seasons now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Travis Kelsey's been there for how many seasons?
Seven or eight. They're not that far apart. They actually played on Cincinnati together.
Oh, wow. College.
So they're not far apart in age.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, no, she was super fitted up. She obviously wasn't going to pick either side. So
and then
one shoe was Eagles, one shoe was Chiefs, one of the jersey was either both sides. Like, man, that's goals right there if you mom Dukes.
And then she went up there that when they were mic'd up and she was hugging both of them and they were all crying and shit. Jason Kelsey wasn't even mad. He wasn't even mad about losing the Super Bowl. He was just happy that he played in the Super Bowl against his – was he the older brother or the big brother?
Jason's the older one.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted. He was mad. He just
– Of course he was mad.
he held it. He just held it together. Don't get that shit twisted. Yeah. He was mad.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed. Yeah, he was kind of mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had him mic'd up, and he, when that holding call happened, he was like, "That's game." He just said it. That's game. It's over.
Yep.
That's game.
Yeah.
He had himself a great game too. He was pancaking everybody. I was looking at the line. He's just unbelievably strong. What position does he play? Like, what was he, a guard? Or
I forget. Come on, man. I play fantasy football. I don't be paying attention to the line.
True. I know. Come to the Niners, man.
Come to the Niners. I think he's Clara, baby. I think he's retiring.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he probably will. But yeah, man, that was the Super Bowl. Now we got to wait 6 months until we can finally watch NFL football. But in a few weeks, we got the Columbine. The Combine, then free agency, then the draft, training camp, and then preseason and all that shit. So, yeah.
Man, we got football next week. What you talking about?
I know. I'm saying NFL. Now I'm going to go, yeah.
Sure, we got XFL. We got AFL. We got NBDL. We got a whole bunch of other football. There's like five different football leagues.
Never leaving, baby.
What's the other football that was just on last year that they started?
Not the CFL. They kept showing it during the commercials. What was it? Because it got canceled. Then it came back. Isn't the American Football League or some shit? The AFL?
Yeah, something. They coming back too. There's like three football leagues coming back because the Arena Football League's coming back next year.
The Arena Football League. They said, which one's going to survive all that? Because I don't think all of them are going to survive.
All of them.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope for the XFL.
I think some of them are going to merge.
Probably with the XFL, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think some of them will just merge out.
For rock's sake, I hope the XFL is successful. Third time's a charm for the XFL. Let's see if it lives.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was showing you the coaches for the XFL. Who's one? I saw Hines Ward as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the other dude for the Vegas one? Who's a former Raider?
Rob Woodson. Yeah, I already knew he was. I actually showed you he was coaching last year.
Oh, yeah. It was just crazy seeing Hines Ward as a coach. I'm like, wow, he's coaching. And I guess he's been coaching. I'm like, God damn, I'm that old that Hines Ward is coaching now? Shit. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, there's always entertainment. And for the halftime show, we saw Rihanna. What do you think of her performance?
Oh, and I've been waiting, baby.
Gunshots. Oh, wow.
She showed up. Out in the sky, bitch better have my money. Mm-hmm. And I was excited. And then they zoomed out. I said, hold up, wait a minute.
Yo, it was very slow because I was thinking because I was looking at the stomach and I'm like, that could be baby fat because she did just have a kid. No. But then I was like,
I didn't say, no. She had that kid last year. She had that kid.
That's when it dawned on me. I'm like, no, she had that kid last year. I'm like, is she pregnant? And then I tweeted it out. I'm like, yeah, I think Rihanna's pregnant. And then someone came to my mentions like, yeah, I ain't trying to say it. And then it just slowly. And then everyone in the house that I was watching at Red's house, they're all like, yo, she's pregnant again. ASAP Rocky.
My brother, let me explain something to you. Let me get the sound bite off. Black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Take it from somebody who's been sleeping next to a human being who's been growing a child, and I've been watching the body develop.
Mm-hmm.
I knew from jump she was pregnant. Okay, that's mm-hmm. not baby fat from the last baby.
I know. Yeah.
I was like, wait, is she pregnant? And then immediately I got the text because Britt had to work. Immediately I got the text. She's pregnant. Like, yeah, I know. Immediately that's when I knew. Oh, this is going to be a very standstill performance. Okay.
I mean, she shook her ass a little bit. A little jiggle. She grabbed the ass cheek a little bit. She gripped it a little bit. She wanted more, but what can she do? Visually, it was great. On TV, visually, it looked great.
No.
Which I know you wanted more, but hey, man, that's all ASAP.
It ain't even about that. What? She just looked like she just wrote it in.
Oh yeah, she sure the fuck did.
It looked like no, it's not even about the fact she was pregnant. It just looked like the pregnancy was. It looked like the pregnancy was the perfect excuse for her to write it in. It looked even if she wasn't pregnant, she was gonna be like, "Look, I'm not getting paid for this. I got draws and bras to sell. I told you I don't want to do this shit to begin with.
I did this as a favor.
Here, yeah, damn.
Pretty much.
That's basically the performance was. Here, damn.
Yeah." That was for 15 minutes. Here, damn. Here, yeah. Damn.
Now
here,
the saving grace is Rihanna has legendary slaps on legendary slaps. That's the saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get away from that.
You better cherish that. That's probably the last time you ever see her perform them damn records.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I will say... I will say this.
Mm.
I do appreciate her being preggers and being that high up in the sky.
Yeah.
Because that's not easy.
Extremely high. She had to have been high herself. On some edibles or something. Because.
Not Prager's? Not Prager's? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. Because she was. It was even too high for me. Like, man, I don't know how she did it. But kudos to her.
Yeah, I'm from that aspect. She gets points, but it was just, it was kind of just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you just tell she's over music. And I don't blame her for that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She has every right to be over music.
I mean, it's she just, said her.
Damn. The song she was playing was like, you can't be over music when you playing these songs, man.
I mean, she said in her Vogue interview, she did a cover story for Vogue, and they asked her about the new album, and she said she hopes she could drop an album this year. That shit ain't coming.
No.
And they did that interview before she knew she was pregnant. So she probably had every intention of dropping an album, probably going on a little mini tour and, you know, doing all that. But then the baby came, and she was just like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So appreciate anti, because that's all you gonna get, people.
Basically.
And if you want to go see Beyonce, go sell your house to get those lead seats.
Absolutely.
Did you try looking up them tickets?
Tried. I had to register for 4 different venues.
Oh my God.
Guess what?
What?
We only have access to one.
Oh, wow. Which one?
I'm not putting that out in public.
Okay, that's something off the air, but man.
Yeah. Still looking, shit. Too.
I was looking at them prices, and I was like, shit.
Oh, there's a reason why I said we're still looking, too.
Why?
She's helping. I'm going. Because Britt understands this is probably the final time she's going to go on tour for a long, long time.
Yeah, she's like, what, in her 40s now? Mid-40s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the last time you see her, maybe.
Yeah.
She still got two acts to drop.
Well, yeah, but you got to understand, too, Blue Ivy's at a certain... She's... Blue Ivy's, like what, preteens now, right?
Damn near. Looking like she's, like, and, I think she's 10 now.
Yeah, okay. and the twins are at that age where they're going to need some real good attention, so
yeah, and Hov ain't gonna drop an album
this might be that time to go see her.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm happy I went to the 444 tour, because it was just like I had this feeling, yeah, this might be the last time we see Hov for a minute, like touring. He's gonna be okay, but this might be the last time we see him touring. And yeah, I was right, like as a solo act, because from now on,
yeah,
he's only gonna be with his wife, and that's it,
yeah,
so. But other than that, Rihanna's halftime show was cool. You know, Timbaland decided to go on Instagram and say, hey, wouldn't it be dope if we get Kanye? No, push the button. You know what button to push.
Before I push it, I'm glad you brought that up.
Uh-huh.
Because it's proof that Kanye be saying the wrong shit at the wrong time because, you know what? Guess who's going to jail
tonight? Somebody did this.
His influence was definitely all over Rihanna's performance, man. And it just would have been nice. It just would have been nice to just have that little creep out. I mean, she had her attire screen Kanye. She was up in the lights like Kanye was at the St. Pablo tour.
Mm-hmm. Did Run This Town, which was produced by Kanye, that's featured in Kanye.
You know what? I didn't even think of this until watching the Rihanna, then having talked about this now. Dog, the 50-year hip-hop performance at the Grammys, who's notably who? Kanye.
I mean, but that was because of him, you know?
No, but that's my point, is Kanye do be saying the right. He is saying the true shit, but he doesn't say it articulately correct. It's not even about saying it. It's not even about saying it politically correct. He don't even articulate it correctly. Mm-hmm. So then it just comes across, and it's like he's trying to say it to the masses that don't give a fuck about him, and then he trashes black people in the process, and then when it comes mm-hmm. time to celebrate our culture, he's pissing people off, and yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
somebody did this.
Yeah, Timbaland went out there and pretty much said, hey, wouldn't it be dope if we have Kanye do the halftime show? Because that would be a show. And I'm like, Timbaland, you just gonna pretend, you just gonna ignore all the shit he said last year. Like, all that can be forgiven. Even Maul was all going like, oh, that could just be forgiven. Nigga, what?
You know what, though? You know what, though? Mm. We say that.
Yeah.
We just going to forget everything we say. But if they say Kanye going to be there, y'all cool with that? You know what we going to say?
Give me a hell yeah.
They're going to show up. That's no matter what he says, if he gets quiet, he's been quiet for 3 months. He has not said a word. He got quiet in December. That's why I've noticed. It's what, February now? He's been quiet for 3 months. And now people are going like, yeah, it would be nice if Kanye would perform again. Wait, what?
No, you stop it. You stop it. Because 2 weeks ago, you said, so I was listening to Kanye.
I listened, but I don't want to see him.
Hey, no, stop it, because that's how it starts. That's how it starts.
That is how it starts. And I've been seeing his music. I've been hearing his music a whole lot more lately. And I'm like, he's coming. I just said
what happened to you, Sam?
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
Yeah. He's coming. And someone said they made a prediction saying Kanye's going to make a music comeback and it's going to be a failure. I'm like, no, it's not. No. Do you know who this man is musically? He knows what he's doing.
Kanye going to come back like Pootie Tang. He's going to come back like Pootie Tang. It's going to be.
No, he's going to pop up like Michael Jackson and just stand there while everyone just loses their mind.
Yeah, it's going to be like. It's going to be like the Pootie Tang. It's going to be the record just... And everybody going to go crazy for it.
No, he's going to pop up in the fucking College Dropout bear suit and just stand there like Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, goddamn. See, the thing about this podcast, people, if y'all watching, once we say shit, it happens. So if Kanye West just pops out next week, blame us. Oh, no, blame us. It's the universe. Universe is telling us something. God damn it.
What commercial stood out to you from the Super Bowl? So we can wrap this up.
None really. It was more about the movies.
Tubi pissed me off.
Oh, the Tubi one. That one was creative. Even though I'm not on Tubi, I knew exactly what it was going to be. When it popped up, I'm like, because I looked at the screen, I'm like, that's not the game. This is a commercial. And then when I saw the shit happen, I remember everyone in the house was like, who's touching the TV?
You know why Tubi pissed me off?
Why?
Because at the moment, I was the only one in the living room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, how the fuck I fall for this? And the remote was on the other side of the damn room. And I was like, what the fuck?
And I knew it wasn't because I knew the shit. And I knew it wasn't.
What kind of shit is that?
And also because I knew it wasn't the type of TV. The type of TV, Red Hat, it wasn't the type of TV that pops up on Tubi. So I was like, okay, I know what this is.
Oh, gotcha.
So, gotcha. And I don't even have Tubi, but that was good. That was real creative.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just the movies I kind of liked. That was pretty much it. Everything else was kind of just blah to me.
I don't even remember any other commercials, to be honest.
That's how you know they fucked up. Like, the only commercial I felt they should have kept was that iPhone commercial. But that was like, I think that was when the playoffs started. You know what iPhone commercial I'm talking about, right? When the lady had the phone and she was running with her son?
No, because, okay, so here's the thing. The bulk of the first quarter and the going into the second quarter, I was actually leaving every commercial break to go back into the kitchen because I was cooking the chicken wings. So that was my excuse. I was cooking.
Yeah, but it was really nothing too big. Only ones that were big was just the movies. So the top movie I remember seeing that I was like excited for was Flash. Cause boy, they dropped it before the game. It was like, and then when I saw that trailer, I was like, okay, I understand why they kept Ezra Miller. I understand Warner Brothers. I understand why they canceled the Batgirl movie. I understand why y'all moving the way you moving. This movie looks fire.
Yeah.
Saw Michael Keaton as Batman. Saw that look on Michael Keaton's face. He had that look like, yep, the check cleared. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. He's like, the check cleared. That's the look he had.
I'm not Batman. I'm back, man.
I'm back, man. I'm not a business, man. I'm a business. Yeah, Ben Affleck's coming back as Batman and shit. It's going to be some No Way Home fucking shit. It's going to be nuts. Hopefully Ezra Miller's on good behavior by June. They showed the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer. That looked good. And what are the trailers? Oh, Fast X, but we already talked about Fast X.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking amazing. No, did we talk about it? Did the trailer drop?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. But that was pretty much it when it comes to that.
Okay.
You know, next year they're going to be in Vegas, and that's going to be, oh God. That is going to be wild. No matter what teams are going to be in there, it's just going to be only for the 0.1% to be there.
I got to find my way out there, man. I got to find my way out there.
If you ain't got no money.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
If you ain't got no money, stay your broke ass home when the Super Bowl's in Vegas next year.
I got to find my way out there.
Just don't go to Salt Lake City like the All-Star game, because... Oh, yeah, the All-Star game is this weekend, huh?
Mm-hmm. They got the celebrity game going as we're recording right now.
Oh, wow. Hell of shit going on Saturday. God damn.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next on the agenda?
We got Billboard and Vibes top 10 rappers list.
Well, it's top 50, but yeah, top 10.
Well, we're only focused on the top 10.
Yeah, so it's top 10. So, yeah.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I do not, but I can look it up right now as we're speaking. Vibe. We lie, people. Top 10 rappers.
This does not go well for YouTube.
It was Vibe and Billboard and shit, too. Man. Boomy. Let's see. I'm scrolling. I know number 10 was Nicki Minaj, which I was like, I guess. Let's see. It's better than Rakim and Andre 3000, huh? Okay. Yeah, Nicki Minaj was number 10. Number 9 was Snoop Dogg, I guess. Number 8 was Drake. Number 7 was Lil Wayne. Number 6 was Biggie. Number five was my boy, Marshall Mathers. Number four was Tupac, yo boy. Number three is my boy, Nas. Number two is Kendrick, which I was like, I guess. And number one was Jay-Z.
I have no idea how they weight this damn thing. I don't get it.
They had a criteria. They're talking about record sales and other fucking shit. Like I looked at it on they based it off record sales and overall impact. And I was just looking at that. I'm like, okay, so Snoop Dogg needs to be a little bit higher just off impact alone.
But see, but I understood the criteria. I got the record sales, I got the impact, and I got the longevity.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there's a few names on there that don't, the weighted system doesn't do that.
Yeah, because this was based off of top 50. So they had Rakim on there, E-40 was on there, Too Short was on there. Who else was on there? I said Rakim, J. Cole, Kanye was on here. Hella fucking people, but there were some people that were left off. Even I noticed it.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Look, we praise Kendrick to the whole nines. Like, don't, like, we, come on, we done this since the time we started this podcast. But Kendrick at number two, based on that criteria, that doesn't make sense.
He shouldn't even
He has not done enough to be number two based on that criteria.
I guess the fucking Pulitzer Prize kind of helps a bit, I guess.
Okay, but in terms of when I think of influence, I'm thinking of artists after him. That's what that's what confuses me. Because if you're talking about Pulitzer Prize, okay, that's accolades. That's not influence. That's accolades. Influence is who are the artists that when they come into the game, they name you as the prime reason. Lil Wayne at number seven. And Drake at eight and Nicki at 10. Lil Wayne should not be at number seven. That means that his proteges, who have a clear distinction as to Lil Wayne is the reason why they rap. Lil Wayne, that's way too low. Kendrick at number two and saying that Wayne and M are the reasons why he rap, they're way too low. They both have longevity. You know, like it just
didn't make sense. And Tupac came into Kendrick's dream. And Tupac came into Kendrick's dream.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the rappers themselves. Salute to every single rapper that made the list. Because I'm not nitpicking about the rappers themselves. This is not what I don't want to come across like I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Notice I'm not even talking about Nas because I don't want to get into that conversation.
We talked about it enough.
There's one rapper, though, that was omitted that I would definitely like to have a conversation about. Because years ago, I chose the different side of the beef, but the fact that he's not even on this list is blasphemy.
It's Ja Rule.
Where is Ja?
Really, though. That was kind of shocking. You put all these other rappers on there, but you couldn't put Ja Rule on that list? Like, at least in probably the top 30, maybe? Like, really, 50 is on this list, but not Ja Rule.
Where is Ja Rule?
Come on, bro.
You can't explain 2000s rap without Ja Rule. You can't.
At all. Like, well, how long was his run from 1998 to 2005? Yeah, that was a run. Before, even when 50 showed up, he still managed to squeak out some hits in there. Like, bruh. And then he got weird, but still, man. Like, Ja Rule was that dude. It's so wild how they all turned their back on that, man.
Well, the feds got involved, so, you know.
That too. And then the whole 50 shit. You know, that's a whole other story, but, you know.
It wasn't just music. You know, as a great philosopher once said, it's deeper than rap.
It's deeper than rap, yeah. I mean, so, I'm just saying.
But no, I'm definitely gonna defend Ja Rule on that. But there's no way in hell you can make a top 50 rappers list spanning over that duration of time. And I'm going to look at it and say, oh yeah, this looks good, and then be like, wait, yeah, you can leave Ja Rule off this. It doesn't matter.
No. But they took him in no consideration. This is Billboard. Ja Rule had top hits on that bitch. Like, really? And since this is Billboard, since we're going to talk about sales, shouldn't Eminem and Tupac be the top two when it comes to sales? They're the top. They're the highest. No, Drake should be on that. He should be higher, too. They should be right. In the top three. Pac, M, and Drake when it comes to just sales. M should be one. Oh, no. Drake should be two, and Tupac should be three. Just off sales alone. But what do I know?
I don't get it, man. I really don't.
What list I really do miss? I miss MTV's Hottest MC list. You remember that?
Of course.
Yeah, I talked to Rob Markman about that, and I asked him, like, how come that list went away? Like, I asked him about it, and he just said flat out, yeah, because somebody on TV said...
I know, that, but go ahead and explain.
Yeah, he pretty much said, yeah, top executive at MTV said no one cares about rap like that.
Yeah.
So, I was like, really? Man, that list was fire. Even though I didn't agree with it, but it was just the fact that rappers legit got pissed about where they were positioned. That shit was wild. Or the famous quote by Lil Wayne. He was like, Gucci Mane made the list? Eminem didn't make the list, but Gucci Mane made the list? Shout out to my nigga Gucci.
Gucci? Gucci?
Gucci Mane made the list and Eminem didn't make the list? Shout out to my nigga Gucci.
How it was explained to me by a music executive insider was it's not a coincidence that MTV started going away from music related content when hip hop started becoming the number one genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, these niggas getting too big now. Let's get away from this.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if TRL was still around, Drake would have been number one, like, 10 weeks in a row. Drake would have been number one. Travis Scott would have been number one a lot. J. Cole, Kendrick, they all would have been number one on TRL, like, weekly.
Right.
Man,
yeah, it was cool. Man. It was cool when hip-hop was running MTV2. And it was cool when you had a time slot on MTV. But the moment when it became when... Basically, Pimp My Ride and the countdowns and all that, when it started dictating everything, that's when, you know, you started noticing a clear-cut difference.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I kind of wish TRL was around in this time period, but, you know, we got what social media is for, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to Ja Rule's Nemesis 50, mainly stars, mainly... The new trailer for Book of Power. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, that poster was fucking fire. When you see all of them in the red suits and shit.
All red. I'm excited.
And I saw Tariq in the suit. I'm like, he is just like his daddy now. Literally stunting like his daddy. I'm like, you have become your father. Ah, man, that's going to be fire. Oh yeah, they also made another announcement. Michael Early is going to be in season 4. I don't think we talked about it here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. I guess 50 made that deal with Stars. Oh, and 50 made another deal. I don't know if we talked about this. Yeah, we did talk about it. But he made another deal with G-Unit Studios, made a deal with Fox for new programming and shit.
He's everywhere.
He went from music to networks. So good for him.
Look, this is the blueprint for evolution. You're not supposed to stay in one arena your entire duration. You know what I mean? You can't be a high grossing, high selling musician forever. So you take advantage of your opportunity and then you go into different markets and. This is how you become a proper businessman, businesswoman. And 50 has proven time and time again that whatever he learned in the streets, he is him. And this is that. That's just what it is. I don't even know how to explain this, but they need to teach courses about 50 Cent.
They really do, business-wise. They need to teach that.
Yeah, because this is some phenomenal stuff that we see every single time from 50. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of Jay-Z, that boy sold like what? He sold his stock in Ducé for $750 million after winning that case. So he got $750 million off that shit.
Is it Ducé or the vodka? I don't know. Is Ducé or the? It's the vodka. I thought.
I think it's the vodka. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the vodka because they were fucking him over. He wanted to look at their books and they didn't want to show it to him. So
yeah.
They just settled and gave him $750 million. Oh. Him and 50, they know how to flip it.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo. Because I'm black and I'm back.
Yep.
They know how to flip the shit.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is going on? We gonna talk about BMF? I hella forgot this episode dropped. The Super Bowl got me all out of way.
There's not much to get into. It's just it's comedy, man. It's just so funny at this point, bro. Like it's season one was just full drama and capacity. At this point, you just got to put your Fast and Furious blinders on and just watch it from that. It's just so damn funny.
The power glasses or Fast?
No, you got to watch it from Fast and Furious blinders now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because this shit, it don't even make sense what they doing at this point, but it's just so funny.
It's kind of like, because you know they're going to get out of it. So it's just like, I guess.
It ain't even got nothing to do with the drug. It don't even got nothing to do with that anymore. Like, they added voyeurism now.
Oh,
for no reason. For no reason.
Yes.
And it's from the two characters you wouldn't even expect it from.
Okay, now I gotta watch it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know the dad was wilding again.
this nigga Lamar befriended a dog.
When he befriended a
This nigga beat the dog's owner because the owner was mistreating the dog. So he beat this man's dog and then he took it and then he called this black dog Blackie. And now him and Blackie be the lookout for him as he goes and commits the crimes against BMF. Nigga, is you bro?
Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah. What happened to your dad? There's powerful niggardry at work here.
You just have to, it's so funny because at this point I just laugh. It's hilarious.
It's
Lamar and Blackie. This should be a comic book now.
Lamar and Blackie. At this point,
yeah.
I only watch Stars just to watch the 50 Cent shows. They should really rename Stars to G-Unit TV.
Yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
Because I don't watch nothing else on Stars. Like, I don't watch no movies.
The only thing I watch is P-Valley.
Yeah, that might as well be a 50 Cent production.
Yeah, I was about to say, and they should get that to 50.
Yeah, there's that other show, too, that was based out in Oakland. That was I forgot what it was called. But they made a TV show on that shit. That should be a 50 Cent show. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Bring in the 8 Mile shit. Like, nigga. Fuck it.
Absolutely.
Still want to know what Courtney has been up to. She said she's been working at Netflix for a minute, so I'm still waiting to see what she got planned.
Yeah.
That's probably going
to be what else we got?
Be some power shit.
Right. How you liking Last of Us?
Love it. Depressing, but I love it.
Yeah, I got to admit, man. I got to admit, every single episode, it just exceeds. And the thing of it was, too, was you remember how the gameplay was, and it's like you were like, damn, that was really good, and it got you in your emotions. So you remember it, and then you see it in live action, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, this week's, they showed last week's episode, like, before the Super Bowl.
They showed a few days early because of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. But I knew exactly, when I saw the two black brothers, I'm like, oh, we're going here now. So I was like, how are they going to milk this? And they literally milked it for the entire episode. And someone on Twitter is going like, I hope that little boy don't die. Yeah.
They added a whole new level when they made him deaf.
Yeah. Oh I thought they were going to milk it for like another episode. Nope. They did the whole episode. And when he got bit, I was like, uh-oh. And then when Ellie was like, well, I can mix my blood with your blood. I was like, that didn't happen in the game, but okay. And then she woke up. Oh, boy had his back turned. And then I'm like, oh, here we go. And he attacks her. And I thought it was funny when the older brother grabbed the gun. And he was like, nope, nope, nope. And yeah, then shot his brother and then shot himself. And I'm like, damn. Someone on Twitter wouldn't say this. Is there going to be like a happy episode of Last of Us? I'm like, have you played the game?
Nope. I will say, though, oh, man, when Kathleen, when she said, oh, kids die every day. And then the little kid, Creepy Crawler, went and snatched her neck.
Creepy Crawler? You still call the clickers Creepy Crawler?
Oh, man.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Oh, man. And then big old buff Bubba Chuck went and ripped whole boy's face off.
It was a bloater. That's what he is. He's a bloater.
Yeah. I know what they call him. You know, in minority households, we don't call shit by their names. You know what I'm saying?
That's Bubba Chuck. Killed him the same way they kill you in the game. Ripped his fucking jar off.
Exactly.
Like, God damn.
It just goes to show, man, when you go for revenge, revenge comes for you.
Yeah. You gotta let that shit play out.
Exactly. And that was that was exciting. That was fun.
Yeah.
Because the whole time they defeated that fungi, and they had it deep below, but she could just not let that shit go.
Nope.
And yeah, that was hilarious. And it's always, I hate to say it, but it's always the wrath of a white woman that just derails the whole damn society.
And the wild thing is, that wasn't even in the game. They just added her. So I'm like, yeah, she about to die. And you talk about revenge, I'm going like, oh, they are laying the foundation down for Ellie's character. Because once they get to season two, it's gonna, oh man, if they go down the route I think they're gonna go, oh, buckle up. It's gonna get even more sadder and depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great show. HBO got one with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, or Ant-Man 3.
We'll see it next week.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, them critics are dunking on it something serious. It's now the lowest rated ever. One of the lowest ratings on Rotten Tomatoes ever for an MCU movie. Now, you know me. Once I see shit like that, I get curious. Like, is the movie really that bad? So I went to go see it the other day. Well, actually, I saw it today with Edgar and shit. Personally, for me, it wasn't the worst one, but it wasn't the best one. It was kind of like right in the middle. And the best part about it was Jonathan Majors. He killed that role as Kang.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he killed that role. He's like a mini Thanos. And it's just like, oh, yeah, he's him. That is him.
This motherfucker was eating 6,000 calories every day. I saw his workout regimen and how he was explaining it. Yeah, of course.
Man, he was excited doing that for about nothing. That too, man. Yeah, but yeah, the movie itself, it was entertaining. It got silly during certain parts, but for me personally, I just like taking things for what they are. And that's what other people do. That's what they should be doing. But, that's the best way I can describe it.
Gotcha.
What do you think of the other Ant-Man movies?
I'm about to re-binge them this weekend. So always I get ready to go see it next week. How do you feel about the movie theaters upcharging for those middle seats?
See how long that lasts. It's only for AMC. Let's see how long that lasts.
They can't touch the discount Tuesdays. So I was I was like, well, Tuesday movies is for me then. Losers.
Brokies. I always sit up front anyway. Because it's just,
I don't do that.
It's easy access for me to get up and leave. So I don't have to walk down the steps and shit.
I don't sit up front. I got diagnosed with migraines when I was 11. I don't sit up front.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, mm-hmm. But nah, I'm waiting for Ant-Man. I'm waiting for Scream 6. Scream 6 actually looks good. And what are the movies? Did you see that Air Jordan shit? Or Air with Ben Affleck?
Man, they done put a fucking Michael Jordan movie out without Michael Jordan, focused on the nerds behind the Michael Jordan shoe. I don't want to watch that. Come on, man.
Chris Tucker,
you had an opportunity to put a Michael Jordan movie out. Let's think about this. We're going to put a Michael Jordan movie out. What's the topic going to be? You want to talk about Michael Jordan or the guys pitching the shoe behind Michael Jordan? Man, you that bullshit out of here. Man. Get out of here.
I mean, Chris Tucker's in it. Viola Davis is in it. And I like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, so it might be good. Maybe.
Do you care about them pitching the blueprint for the shoe behind Michael Jordan? There's no dunks in this. Nobody cares. I don't care how they pitch the shoe.
Happy birthday, Michael Jordan. Today's his birthday.
Yeah, but nobody cares how they pitch the shoe. Come on, man. There's stories that nobody cares about, okay? Vin Diesel taking two helicopters and crashing them. Yes. A bear inhaling cocaine coming out. Yes.
That comes out next week. I'm going to see that shit. Cocaine.
Yes.
Oh,
Bill Knight sitting down trying to be the architect for Michael Jordan's shoe. No.
No.
And that's the problem that we need to, we need to talk about this, okay? The movie industry wants to discuss, and they want to bitch and complain about people not showing up to the movie theaters and all this jazz. Because the movies suck today. That's the problem. Movies suck. They want to retouch up the movies that our parents watched when we were kids or before we were born, and they're doing a half-assed job doing it. Or they're making movies about topics that we don't care about. Nobody cares about these guys sitting in a damn meeting pitching a Michael Jordan shoe. No. Somebody got to say it.
I mean, yeah, Jordan's not even going to be in this shit. You're just going to
exactly.
hear about him. And you're going to see his mom and his dad and his cousins and shit, but you ain't going to see Jordan.
How does that make sense?
I have no idea.
Thank you. Like, somebody has to be the one to say it, man.
That's why we're here. That's why we got this.
This is why I have a problem with analytics. This is analytics culture. This is a reflection of that. They think that they can make themselves a part of the game. You can't. You can't take over and put yourselves in front of the game.
Well, according to NBA, you probably can. I don't know if you saw that one new app. That one new app they're about to do where you could literally what's it called? Put your likeness into an NBA game and they make you look like you're playing in the game with them and shit.
Fam, that's not analytics. That's the Matrix. That's something completely different. Analytics is when you're so focused that's Moneyball. This is the Matrix where you're putting yourself in. I'm talking about Moneyball. They're trying to correlate and put Moneyball as the focal point of movies. That's not going to work. There's a movie about Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan's not going to be in it. No. No.
Well, that's what Space Jam's for if you want to see Michael Jordan. And plus, Michael B. Jordan's going to be in Creed 3. So, you know, you can see that.
A Michael Jordan movie. A Michael Jordan movie with no Michael Jordan. No. No.
Probably didn't sign off on his likeness. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, let's see how funny it is when they make a Michael Jackson movie starring Jermaine.
Well, I mean, technically it is. It's his son, so technically it is Jermaine.
No. Let's see a Michael Jackson movie that focuses on Jermaine Jackson.
Jermaine Jackson would do some shit like that.
Exactly.
He would promote it as a Michael. You know how they do the trailers, and then you go see the movie, the whole shit's focused on Jermaine. He would do that shit. Tim and Michael weren't that cool like that. I can see that.
Right. I know.
Anyway, anything else?
Yeah, the 5-year anniversary of Nipsey Hussle's victory lap.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
It was a masterpiece when it dropped.
You called it, too. It's
beyond legendary now that it's 5 years later.
Yeah, man. It's still wild to me. That was his only album. His only official album. And it really, it still sounds good today. Then when it dropped, You do. I mean, I remember when we reviewed it, you called it a classic. You said this is his best work.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like he took 10 years worth of time to work. And I mean, I know at the time it was 5 years going into it. It just sounded so crisp. It sounded so, I'm getting emotional talking about it. It just sounded like his life's body of work just went into that. I still remember that review. I remember saying that if all else, and he didn't make any more music, that album was going to stand the test of time.
Didn't that drop the same time as Redemption, like the same day as Redemption, J-Rock's Redemption?
I think J-Rock came out this summer.
I feel this dropped during the summer, didn't it?
No, that's
February. It's February. Yeah, you're right, because it dropped, yeah. And then Nipsey went on that whole campaign saying, yeah, I dropped the classic. I dropped the album of the year. And he kept saying it. Then Daytona dropped. And then, man, I still feel that when we did our ranking, we had Victory Lap at 2 and Daytona at number 1. And I still stand on that. But, man, Victory Lap, it ages well. It really ages well. It's a damn shame, man. Like, part of me kind of wishes what would have happened. But he already has his whole work. You know what I mean? Because he has his own mixtape catalog and shit like that. And originally, this was supposed to be part of the Marathon series, Victory Lap.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, man, that's 5 years. So, how do you reflect on the album 5 years later?
It's very special, especially after going to see it live. That final performance up here in the Bay, hearing it live with the... It's one thing to go see it and, you know, him doing it over turntables, but it's another thing to hear it with a live band. Of course, Blue Laces 2 was my favorite off the track. And then hearing the crowd perform Blue Laces 2, especially that third verse with him.
Yeah. With the live band and shit.
It just sounded like perfection. I don't think he could have done anything better. That was the beautiful thing about that album is like, it just, every word was on point.
He held on to those tracks too. Cause he held on for those tracks for like years, probably since like 2013 ish. Maybe he held on to that. He's like, oh, I'm keeping this for Victory Lap. I'm keeping this for Victory Lap. Like he held on to it. So
yeah.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle, man. And yeah, I still remember that day when I made it. I called it an album of the decade, them and Daytona. And he saw it, posted it on his Instagram, and it's there to this day, which is still wild to think about. I still get Nipsey Stan or fan accounts still follow me to this day off when he reposted that. So yeah, man. And it was Victory that year. It was the three undisputed, like, best for four. The four undisputed ones was Victory Lap, Daytona, Redemption, and just those three. It was just those three.
No, those weren't the three.
That was critically acclaimed. Not by, those weren't by the three. You know. What were the other ones? It was Victory Lap, Daytona, and what was else? What else?
No, it was Victory Lap, Daytona, Astroworld.
Oh, and then Astroworld.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Astroworld dropped that same year.
I don't know.
And Everything Is Love dropped that same year. Oh, yeah. That 2018, that was a great year.
Yeah.
2018, I forgot.
Don't get me wrong. Redemption was a great album, but that wasn't...
The definitive. No,
Astroworld was the commercially...
He's about to come back out the shadows. He's creeping out the shadows, Travis Scott.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when he drops his shit, that's going to probably do like... He's probably gonna do like five. He's gonna probably do Drake numbers with that shit.
Don Toliver's dropping next week.
Yeah, I saw Whatever It Takes, right?
No. What's it called? I sent it to you.
Yeah, you did. I thought it was called Whatever It Takes.
No, it's called Lovesick.
Lovesick.
Whatever It Takes is a single.
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah, I was half right. Yeah, that one's gonna be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting right after Valentine's Day. Okay, yeah. And who else? Yeah, people are starting to creep out. Chloe's about to drop her song with Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. Who else is dropping? The Eminem wannabe. What's his name? NF is dropping his shit. Cordae is going to be on that album. That's coming out in, it's coming out in April, but he dropped a single, and it just sounds like Fast and the Furious trailer music. So, you know. And what else? Who else is dropping? That's about it for now. Everyone's starting to creep out the shadows now, you know, since the Grammys and the Super Bowl are over with. So,
yep. I like that. Wait the Grammys and wait the Super Bowl out. You texted me. You thought you had a hot take. You said maybe we jumped the ball on SZA.
I think we did, because she's ever since January, she's been number one. She stayed at number one. She's been there for like 9 weeks consistently, and she's about to go platinum. I think she's already platinum already.
I'm not backing off.
I mean, sales wise, but it's just like, wow. Cause I'd be looking at the charts, and she's still chilling at number one.
I'm not backing off for this reason. She got to wait a whole ass other year to go back into the Grammys. And guess what? You have to fight against brand new music that's going to be fresh in people's minds.
That's true.
So So now the sales wise, yes, that's great. But who's she competing against? Because nobody's dropping. So, of course, she's going to be number one.
She has to go up against Taylor Swift for Album of the Year and shit. Oh, damn. Yeah, that's true.
Right. Salute to her. That's fine. That's great. But who's she competing against? She's basically competing against herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like sales-wise, strategy-wise, from a, you know, I guess from a business standpoint, it was smart on TDE to drop on December. But in the long run, it's like, fuck. So yeah, she's really milking Kill Bill. She's milking a lot of the singles. Some of the singles might last through the year. So
we'll see. Yeah, the singles are going to be fine. But it's just, it's a matter of, is that album really going to hold suit going into the Grammys against brand new music that is going to be fresher in people's minds? That's true. Really, that's going to, you know, that's really, that's going to be the question.
And if it does, hey.
If it does, then I will come back and say, okay, I got it wrong. But I like my chances against that. Her being number one right now, it's great for her, but that doesn't tell me anything because nobody's dropping anything right now.
Yeah, pretty much. So, one final note. Did you see Drake doing the reverse curse? For the Super Bowl, wearing the fucking, because he bet for the Chiefs, but he was wearing a Eagles shit, so he was playing all Meek Mill and Lil Uzi Vert and shit. That video was hella funny.
Yeah,
once in a while, that's not dropping some.
Huh? I was about to say that's not the final note though. We still have a couple more.
That was just for the Super Bowl, but go on.
Yeah, we still have rest in peace to De La Soul's Trilogy, aka Plug 2. Unfortunately, he passed away at 54 years old due to heart related. That's unfortunate, especially considering that they're legitimately weeks away from getting their catalog in full on
streaming services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rest in peace to him, man.
Yeah, that's rough.
And on another bright note, Death Row music is coming back to streaming services. Mm-hmm. Doggy Style and all the Death Row shit's coming back. So I was like, okay, I guess because it's now, I guess right now it's all on TikTok for whatever reason. All the Death Row catalogs on TikTok. And I guess they got a week in advance. And then I guess next week is going to be on all DSP. So I'm like, oh, I guess Snoop. But
I never know.
You already have the shit. I mean, you already have. I have the shit. But it's just like, you know, letting the people know that. Mm. So
sucks for y'all.
I know, right?
I got all the unreleased shit too. I got the shit that one still ain't coming back.
that's the shit that Snoop needs to do. He needs to drop like a Death Row unreleased shit because he has the whole catalog, so he might just drop that shit. That'll be some fire shit. But then I got that shit, so.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you new to this too?
Oh, we didn't watch it during the Grammys when Dr. Dre had his listening sessions for Marsha Ambrose's album.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's nice. I still don't believe the album's coming. He can have listening sessions all he wants. I don't believe it's coming.
No.
Good nope. Fuck. I won't believe it until I see it on title.
Yeah. Busby, are you ready?
For...
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chair?
There's powerful niggardry at work here.
If you weren't a fan of Zeus already, it's time to be a fan of Zeus. Just became bigger, badder, and blacker.
How much more fuckery can this shit get?
Fam.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
Floyd Mayweather has linked up with Zeus. And a pay-per-view exhibition fight is coming to Zeus next weekend, Saturday, February 25th. It is Floyd Mayweather versus Aaron Chalmers. The undercard is between reality stars Tommy Lee versus Natalie Nunn.
Big champ Natalie Nunn?
Yes.
Jay Leno, Natalie Chung? Really?
Yes.
Natalie Nunn?
Yes.
How much is Zeus?
Zeus, I think, is like $5 a month. I think you got to pay for this pay-per-view, but it's worth the money to me. It's worth it to me.
Wow. It's like we got the Super Bowl. We got Elimination Chamber. Then we got this, the Grammys. Then we got
All-Star. You got All-Star this weekend. Then you end it with this.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo. Because I'm black and I'm black.
I see that undercard and all I see is...
Somebody did this.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
So how much is Floyd getting paid for this?
I don't know, but when I see he got some equity in Zeus.
I mean, this man is just doing side missions now. Cause he just beat everybody. He's just flying to fucking Dubai to go against one dude for $10 million, and he's gonna fly to fucking Saudi Arabia for some other shit. He's gonna be on Zeus to do some other shit. Fuck it.
Bro, what if Floyd does to Zeus what 50 did to Stars?
Oh, I can see that. Just like a whole reality. Oh man. Oh man, I'll be fired.
Reality fights.
I'll pay for reality fights because a lot of these motherfuckers need to fight.
Look, come on, man. I'm speaking into existence. I'm all in. I'm all in, man. Come on. I'm riding for the culture. Come on, man. I was already in on Zeus. I'm here.
A lot of these niggas need to fight because they be talking too much shit to each other on these damn shows and shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I might just look into that shit.
It's worth it.
It's worth it, man. I'll be listening to a podcast and he'd be breaking down all the not the Natalie Nunn shit, just all the damn reality shows. He just says how fuckery it is. It's just like, oh my God, this is just great fuckery.
It is. It's wonderful.
Man.
It's dangerous, but it's wonderful. It's dangerous as hell.
You don't reduce yourself to watch the blue face saying Chris
no, Sand shit, right? No. That's domestic violence. that's not powerful niggardry. That's domestic violence. There's a line, okay?
Man, that's all I can say about that. At least he got a bag out of that shit, but I don't even touch that shit.
No, Britt and I have moral compasses. Okay, that's domestic violence. I don't support domestic violence.
You see how Zeus is?
Yeah, I see how it is. I see how it is, but I am not they. I am me, and she is she, and we are we. We have a moral compass. Yeah,
true. Yeah, point.
I believe in powerful niggardry, but I don't believe in domestic violence.
True that. Shit. Anyway, anything else?
We're good on everything. Got it all.
That's what's up. This is episode 290, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're 10 away from 300. But for now, it's episode 290 of the most consistent podcast in the area. You can always, Follow us on Twitter. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can always follow me, Mr. Busby, at Mr. Busby 4 lowercase 08. You can follow us on Twitter at TLogicalSP. You could always follow us on Instagram at TLogicalSense. And of course, on the Facebook. And of course, on the YouTube. Like, subscribe, watch, comment, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody about TLogicalSense. Yeah, bitch.
And on all social media, you can follow me at JCNoHunnets. Yeah, man. What I got going on? Oh, yeah, we in a third trimester now.
Yay!
It is moving fast. I keep blinking, and I'm like, oh, boy, we here.
That's how life is, man.
Yeah, man, it is going quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I am busy preparing, and it is... No time to sleep. Everybody keeps saying, yo, sleep, sleep, sleep. And I'm like, how?
Sway.
There's always something to do.
Yeah, I think you got to call Sway.
There's something to do, man. Yeah.
Call Sway for the answers. He got the answers.
Yeah, I hope so. Please. Please, somebody help me. But yeah, no, hit me up on all social media. Charles from BMF is, that is my new steez. I rock with Charles. Oh, Charles God. Hive, we in this
wow.
thing.
Wow.
Charles Hive, you will understand why in this new episode of BMF.
Well, always go for the watching. Toxic niggas, man.
Yeah, hey, somebody got to, because I ain't in real life.
I'm not real life, but they're living out my fantasies.
Exactly, so. Yeah. I got to live out my toxic dreams somehow.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Lakers to that fourth seed. I told you at the beginning of the season as they were constructed, they weren't going to do it. Now I see how they're constructed now. Lakers to that fourth seed. What else is popping off? Yeah, I'll figure it out later. Until then, hit me on social media. Yeah.
If you can find us on Twitter, because Twitter, I accidentally updated my Twitter and now it looks all fucked up. fucking this shit up, man. But you remember that shit on the Chappelle Show? Damn. Oh, boy. Fuck it up. Damn. Eon, fuck it up. You fucked up. I got to go on both timelines, like the For You and the Following, just to see what the hell's going on.
You got to keep blocking those. You got to keep blocking those damn profiles that keep popping up with all those damn likes and retweets.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's like, dude, why did you fuck this up, man? Like, why? Whatever. Like, Jack Dorsey needs to hurry up with that other shit because he got some other shit coming soon. So he needs to hurry up with that shit.
Yeah,
but until then, we'll be on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll find us.
Oh, yeah. Before I go to, again, like Buzz was saying, we're on YouTube. So, of course, like, subscribe, comment, all that jazz. And in addition, as we have always been before, on all DSPs, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever else, continue to stream, like, subscribe, comment, share, all the above. We appreciate you as always.
Like we always do. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we are out.
Peace.
Peace.